Welcome to the Philadelphia branch of Lighthouse Chapel International, under the leadership of the Presiding Bishop Dag Hayward Mill. This denomination has grown with several branches all over the world. We are delighted to come your way with the anointed Word of God, which is able to heal, deliver, and save you. Stay tuned with your heart to receive God's Word through His servant, Reverend Gilbert Fleischer.
We have new, what do you call them again? Subwoofers, right? They are the big things underneath. That's why you're hearing the boom, boom, boom. It's a big difference. And it's something I want us to get, all right? So we'll talk about it. What you have there now was rented by the technical team and the choir. They came together and rented it just to try it. And I think it makes a big difference. Let's stand to our feet. Put your hand on your heart, close your eyes, and let us pray. This morning, I want you to pray for yourself, pray for your heart, that God will speak to you, that God will speak to you. I believe that there's a reason, there's a purpose for you being here. Just pray and say, God, speak to me, 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 speak to me. Yes, yes, yes. Yes. Pray that this morning your heart will be open towards God's word. Pray that you would not have familiarity towards God's word, but with a grateful heart, you will receive His word. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name. Father, we are so grateful to you for this morning. Thank you for this great opportunity to be here. Thank you for your word which is coming forth this morning. May our hearts be open. May our hearts be open. May we not be familiar with your word. Let your word come to heal. Let it come to deliver. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right, please be seated and bless this offering, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Can somebody please bring the Healing Jesus banner a little closer? How many of you know that today is Healing Jesus Sunday? All right. You don't seem to be excited about it. You don't know about it. Yeah, put on. It's powerful. Thank you, Brother Pierrot. It's powerful. Now, it is important that we continuously talk about Healing Jesus campaign and also get help for it. Because this is the main evangelistic, you know, strength of our church, that our Father goes out in there to different countries, places that you and I will not go, places that you and I don't even have any idea. Yeah. Recently, when he was in Zimbabwe, Sister Macarius' father went, and he either rededicated his life or accepted Jesus at the crusade. Do you see? So it's a very, very important thing that is being done. And I tell you, it gives us also strength to do our local evangelism. Yeah. In fact, we're looking forward to one day even having crusades. We've tried it, but not with so much strength. But we're looking at days of having crusades in the church. I mean, the church having crusades outside in Philadelphia. And it's all coming from this, you see. So if you understand the purposes of God, the plans of God, you will embrace such a brilliant, wonderful, spirit-led, you know, move like the Healing Jesus campaign. And we bring it to the churches. We bring the awareness several times in a year, because without that, people don't even know. People don't, not that they even know, don't know, but they forget that there's such an important thing going on. So there are different zones in terms of the different branches in different parts of the world that celebrate, you know, Healing Jesus campaign every so often. and it's our 10. So Yara Diocese, the whole of our diocese, all our branches are celebrating Healing Jesus and giving and encouraging anyone who is not a partner to become a partner. A partner means that you have opened your account. I am a partner. You see, as a pastor, I cannot preach with strength about anything that I am not doing. Yeah. I'm a partner. I give so much every month. When you're a partner, you sign up and you get an automatic deduction from your checking account or whatever account you want to use. If you don't have an account, we'll help you. We'll find another way of doing it. But that is a partner. And there are also board members who give very high amounts, $500 or more every month, to support such a great... Come on, put your hands together for... Amen. Listen, this is what church is about. Do you understand? This is why Jesus came. He came into this world to save the lost. That is the reason why he came. You see, all the things that today we have made primary are actually secondary. The primary goal for Jesus coming is to save us and to extract us from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son, into light. To deliver us from the hands of the enemy. Amen. To take us out of our destiny of going to hell and bring us to a new destiny of going to heaven. The other things are all fringe benefits. Do you understand? Yeah. I mean, you cannot walk into a workplace and as soon as you walk in, you say, where's my health insurance? Where's my 401k? Where's this? Where's this? No, no. That is not the main reason why you were hired. You were hired to do a certain job. And when you do the job, then you get the benefit. That is why in most places, you don't even get benefits until you've gone through probation. Isn't it? You have to have worked 90 days or some places 6 months. Then you qualify to be a person who can participate in the fringe benefits. You see, so all these things are fringe benefits. They are for us, you see. But don't let it be the main thing. The main thing is to save the lost. You see, and that's what is happening in America today. You have churches in, you know, very posh places with golden lights and golden doors and everything. And they are not moving. That is not church. Church is for saving souls. Church is for saving souls and planting more churches. Amen. Yeah, that is why you would realize that a lot of times even our best always are sent out. Yeah, it's hard and it's difficult, but that is the reason. We must not lose the reason why we are here. Amen. And in years to come, or very soon, the lot of people that you see here would not even be here because they would have moved on to start branches somewhere else. That is church. To gather more souls. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 10. Let's look at a few scriptures. Romans chapter 10. Are you there? Because it's holiday weekend and people have traveled, eh? It's powerful. Are you here? So let's look at Romans chapter 10 and let's read a few verses here. Let's start from verse 13. It says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. 14. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? How do you call on something that you don't believe in? You can't. You cannot call on something that you have not believed in. So it's asking, how shall they call on him whom they have not believed? They call on him, they get saved. But how shall they call on him that they have not believed? Then he asks the next question. How shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? I mean, how do you believe in something when you've not heard? Everything that you believe in is because you have heard. The car that you drive it because you heard that Toyota was good. Or Mercedes-Benz is a nice car. Or Honda is a nice car. And that is why you are riding in that. So he says, how shall they believe in him on whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without the preacher? So somebody has to preach. 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 I said somebody has to preach. Amen. Somebody has to preach. Has to preach and say Jesus saves. Verse 15. How shall they preach except they be sent? You cannot preach when you have not been sent. Sent here means many things. If we don't support and send him, he cannot go. How many of you have watched clips of Healing Jesus? I figured that you've watched a lot, so today I'm not showing any. Because you watched them. These are places that nobody goes. Places that people regularly will not go. But he will go. In fact, if there are some of the old ones that, like when he began going to the village, there was one that he crossed a certain village, lake. All right, I think in that place, you're not even supposed to wear shoes. So you see him barefooted. Walked across somewhere in Ghana, across a lake, and went to preach to them. So somebody has to be sent. You see, sending here also means putting wheels under the car. Without the constant support and funding, he will not be able to go. And that is why it is important to always remind ourselves that, look, we have a mission in healing Jesus. We have a mission in healing Jesus. Tap your neighbor and say, neighbor, you have a mission in healing Jesus. So wake up, rise up, and become part of what is going on. Amen. Yeah. It was Sister Macaria's father. It could be your auntie. It could be your uncle. It could be a relative. Listen, one of the you see, I'll come to it. But you see, I figure out that a lot of times we just stay in church and we don't really believe what we are doing. It's like we are just coasting along, you know. We're just flowing, cruise control. It's like they say we are going, everybody's going, so let's go. But you don't believe. When you believe, it makes a difference. It makes a difference. There will be a difference in the way you make things. I mean, you see things. And I'm telling you, coming back to what I'm talking about, your relatives, you'll be amazed how you will feel when you see a relative in hell. Yes. Yes. Even the ones you think you don't like. You see, right now, you feel you don't like them because you are in this coat called the flesh. But the day you are in eternity and a relative is somewhere else, you won't like it. You will not like it. And it's possible you will see it. Isn't it? Because Lazarus and the rich man, Lazarus was on one side and it was quite visible what was on the other side as well. So you will see. That, hey, Auntie so-so-and-so is not here. Uncle so-so-and-so is not here. Grandfather so-so-and-so is not here. Grand-uncle so-so-and-so is not here. You see? That's provided you make it yourself. Ask your neighbor that, are you making it? Yeah, because we need to make it ourselves. Are you understanding? So nobody can hear unless they are preached to. And nobody can be preached to unless they are sent. Then it says, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. 16, but they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah said, Lord, who had believed our report? Then comes verse 17, which is our favorite verse, which everybody likes about Romans 10, that so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Listen, don't just be concerned about your faith. Be concerned about faith for other people who need to hear who need to hear and who need to also come to the point of believing. That is why in our individual lives, we must be very evangelistic. Are you understanding? Yeah. Every time, wherever you are, at work, on the bus, on the train, everywhere, think about who is sitting next to you. Think about who is in front of you. Think about your neighbor. Think about. That is your goal. The Bible says that God has given unto us the ministry of reconciliation. God has reconciled us to himself. And he's given us that ministry to reconcile other people. That is your reason. Listen, you are not in church just to enjoy the company of other Africans. You are not in church to enjoy the company of other people. You are not in church just to enjoy being a friend to this person and a friend to that person. There is a mission. 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 You must be concerned about souls. Yes. 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 Don't just be concerned about how church can affect or help your marriage. I'm telling you, there's somebody somewhere, sitting somewhere, struggling, a woman, a wife somewhere whose marriage is in shambles and has nobody to talk to, nobody to even say something to. They don't even know that there's a solution that exists somewhere until somebody says, hey, let's go to church. Let's go somewhere and hear the word of God, something that can change the situation. That is church. Are you understanding? So he says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Amen. Part two of the message. Let's talk about your faith. Turn to your neighbor and say, your faith is very important. Now, it is very important for you to develop your faith. Bible says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It is key that you develop your faith. Because a lot of times, whatever comes to you will be according to your faith. Yeah. Yesterday, I took an old book that I haven't read for a while, written by Kenneth Hagin, called Healing Belongs to You. And he made a comment. I read it long ago, so I've underlined the book with different, highlighters, red, pink, different colors. So I was just glancing through, not really reading, but I looked over some of the things I had underlined. And then I quickly was caught by this statement that he made, that in the church, are you listening? Yes. In the church, and this is an old man, anointed, seen a lot in ministry, and he said, in the church, there aren't going to be a lot of manifestations of the gifts, the supernatural gifts. Yeah. Isn't it amazing? It says, in the church, in the full gospel church, there will not be a lot of it. Why? Now, the reason is that God has provided everything else through his word. You see, like gift of healing. That's why you see it more on a crusade ground. When somebody stands there and is preaching to Muslims, somebody stands there and is preaching to Buddhists, somebody who stands there and is preaching to people who doubt God. But when you are in the church, God speaks to you through his word. And he expects you to take his word. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. He expects you to take his word and develop faith. Can I go a little further? You see, until you get to what we call Rhema. Rhema is a spoken word. Until you go past the logos, written word, you won't develop faith. Let me say this. You see, when God speaks, you cannot doubt it. Do you understand? Yeah. You see, if I call Brother Ima now, okay, and I say to Brother Ima, I will, by the end of this year, buy you a new keyboard, I don't think he will doubt it. Do you see? Because he knows, even me, a human being, we have such a relationship, and I say, I will get you this by the end of the year. He believes it. Now, that is quite different from he hearing it from Brother Nat. Where's Brother Nat? You see? Then Brother Nat comes to him and he says, look, Brother Emma, I heard Brother Kofi, who said Brother Harry, who said Brother Isaac, said that Reverend says that he will buy you. You see, that is logos. You see, the voice of God is majestic. It is thunder. You see, when you hear it, you cannot doubt it. You see, so when the Bible says that for faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God, God is trying to point us to the point where you hear God's word to the point that you hear him say, he said it. And that comes by spending time with it. You spend time with it until you hear it. It's no more Reverend said. It's no more somebody said something. Because even me, what I'm telling you also things that I've learned. I've learned from Bishop Doug. I've learned from Kenneth Hagin. I've learned from Bishop Ahidepo. I've learned from great people, great men of God. And I'm telling you what I have heard. It's different from what God has said. When I hear it, I also want God to say. Because when he says that there is no margin of error, there is no room for doubt. When you try to doubt, you cannot. Because God has said it. Amen. And listen, until you get to that point where you believe what God has said because you heard him say it, you will not see miracles in your life. Yes. You will not see miracles in your life. Matthew chapter 9 verse 29 quickly. Matthew chapter 9 verse 29. It says, then touch ye their eyes, saying, according to your faith, according to your faith, according to whose faith? Turn to your neighbor and say, according to your faith. Listen, things will happen to you according to your faith, not somebody else, not your pastor's faith. Unless I am operating a gift of faith. And I've told you already that normally does not happen routinely in the church. We have no control over it. Are you understanding? So it's according to your faith. And time, we don't have time to read over a lot of things. But if you look at, we read Matthew 9:29, Mark 5:34, same thing. Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Mark 10:52. And Jesus said, go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Matthew 15:28. Then Jesus answered and said, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee as thou wilt. So it is your faith. It is your faith. Not somebody else's faith. It is your faith. Put your hand on your heart and say, it is my faith. You see, so it is very important for you to develop your faith. And your faith is directly related to the word of God, the preaching of God's word, the hearing of God's word, the listening of God's word, the reading of God's word, the meditation of God's word. And that's why we must support our Father as he goes on. Because as he moves on, the higher he goes, the higher we also go with the same thing. Amen. But I'm talking about your faith. Tell your neighbor, the pastor is talking about your personal faith. Say, it's about time to develop it. 1 John 5:4. For whosoever is born of God overcometh the world. Whosoever is born of God overcometh the world. Are you born of God? I said, are you born of God? How many people here are born of God? Lift up your hand and say, I'm born of God. Well, if you are born of God, God is saying that if you are born of God, you overcome the world. It means that there should be nothing in this world that should hold you down. There should be absolutely nothing in this world to hold you down. There should be nothing. You should overcome the world. He that is born of God overcometh the world. He that is born of God overcometh the world. He that is born of God overcometh the world. There should be no magic that can work against you. There should be no witchcraft that can work against you. There should be no enemy that can overtake you, whether at work or anywhere else, because you are born of God. He that is born of God overcometh the world. But don't stop there. Look at the second part of the verse. It says, and this is the victory
that overcometh the world. In other words, this is how we overcome the world. This is how we overcome the, this is how we step over our enemies. This is how we overcome the situations that are trying to bog you down. I'm telling you, life is full of fights. You wake up in the morning and you have things on your mind. And let me tell you something. It doesn't get better as you grow older. As you grow older and you mature more and you move into higher things, you see that the challenges are different. Yeah. When I wake up, I think till I sleep. And when I wake up, right there, thinking comes back. In fact, it starts where I slept. Yeah. So I just go to bed, just praying. I pray myself to sleep. And when I wake up, I continue. So this is one of our, it says, even our faith. You see, so don't stop. I mean, don't just chant. Whoever is born of God, I'm born of God, I overcome. The thing that overcomes is your faith, your belief. I said your belief, not just your chanting, not just your quoting, not just your screaming, not just your leaping, not just your shouting hallelujah, not just your Christian jargon, not just things rattling. No. It's your faith. Do you believe it? When you believe something, you die believing it. You can be killed believing it. I said you can be killed believing it because it's so integrated inside you. There's nothing that can separate it from you. So he says, it is your faith. See, that is why it is important to pray. It's important to pray the word. It is important to listen, stop whining about your problems. Stop whining. Let me show you something. I didn't mean to, but let's go. Let's go to Luke chapter 11. Or Luke chapter 18 instead. Luke chapter 18. Let me share with you this quickly and then we close. In Luke 18, Jesus told a very, very, very interesting parable. And he spake a parable unto them unto this end. See, so this parable, a parable is a narrative story. All right? Jesus would give a story to illustrate a particular point. So he said he spake this parable. The reason why he spake this parable was that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. Men ought always to pray and not to be crying. Men ought always to pray and not to feel weak. Men ought always to pray and not to be grinding and whining and, oh, things are not working for me. It's not working well. It's not. No. He says, instead, pray. So he's telling this, giving us his illustration that we rather ought to pray and not to faint. Prayer is the way. If we believe that God can do something, then we must pray. So what was it? So he said in a city, there was a judge who did not fear God. I'm trying to paraphrase here. Then there was also a widow in that city. The widow kept coming to the judge. Avenge me. Avenge. Do you understand the word avenge? It's not a bad word. Yeah. It's not a bad word. Avenge me of my adversary. You see, things that bring adverse effects to your life are adversaries. Bring discomfort. They bring things that are not conducive to life. They are not comfortable. They take you out of comfort. Evil, bad things. So he says, this woman kept coming to this judge. Avenge me of mine adversaries. Avenge me. Avenge me. Avenge me. See, you have to stretch your mind a little bit. Then verse 4 says, and he would not for a while, but afterward he said to himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her. Don't forget an illustration. Jesus is trying to teach us something here. Lest by her continual coming she weary me. So Jesus is teaching us something here through this illustration that, hey, don't be a person who faints. See, when troubles come to us, challenges come to us, the first instance or the first reaction is to feel weak. Oh, you give up. Oh, it's not working. Oh, I'm so sad. Oh, I'm so morose. It's not going to work. Oh, my God, this is the end. No, it says, instead, pray. Then he said, these are the words, if you're reading your Bible, look at it. These are the words of Jesus. Not that somebody says something, somebody, Jesus said. These are words of Jesus. Then he said in verse 6, hear what the unjust judge said. So the unjust judge, somebody who is not even just, somebody who does not fear God, he does not fear man, there's no fear whatsoever with him. He says, look, this thing, if I don't do something about it, this woman would, widow would just finish me. Then look at verse 7 and 8. These are some of my best verses. I read them every day. I read this verse like 2, 3, 4 times a day. Wow. Yes. Look at verse 7. It says, and shall not God. In other words, if an unjust person can do that, if somebody who has no fear, no morals, nothing, can even think this way, it says, and shall not God avenge? God can turn your story around. I said God can turn your story around. But what is going to turn your story around is not the crying. Tap your neighbor and say, enough of the crying. It's enough of the whining. Emma, tap Emmanuel, tap him once. Say, enough of the whining, enough of the crying, enough of the it's not working, enough of the it's not happening, enough of it's when, enough of. I heard somebody, one great man of God, say that, you see, sometimes you should think twice before even you open your mouth. You see, if you feel you've lost anything, listen to this, if you feel that you've lost anything, the reason why you've not lost everything is God. Hallelujah. Yes. Did you hear that? I said, if you think that you've lost anything, the reason why you have not lost everything is God. So straighten your face and rather rejoice and rather be grateful to him. So it says, and shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry, look at this, day and night. So this is what I do. Is when I, well, it depends on where I am on noon. I say, Lord, it's daytime. It's about 10. I'm coming to you. Why we talked about avenge my adversary. Then when it's night, I find a corner. I say, Lord, it's 8 p.m. It's night. Avenge. And I even tell God, I will not stop. I will worry you till you do it. Yes. It's prayer. Stop being lazy and pray. Don't tell me you cannot pray because you can't talk. When we leave you alone, you're on the phone. When you meet your friend, why is it that when it comes to God, just opening your mouth and talking to him for 15 minutes, 20 minutes, 30 minutes, 1 hour, you don't want to do it. And but God says, Jesus says, you ought to pray. Men ought to pray. Then look at verse 8. Then he says, I tell you that he will avenge them. Look at the word that follows. He will avenge them speedily. 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 Listen, anybody who prays this prayer day and night, God is saying, Jesus is saying, he signed it with his own red lettered word here, that he would answer speedily. Now look at how he entered. It says, nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? So after he said this, Jesus himself could recognize, and he's feeling, even feeling sad about it, that very few people put that into action. Yeah. As I'm sharing this, you know, some people are even feeling sleepy already. They are looking at their time when, you see, and you are the same person that you'll be hit with something, then you panic. You don't know how to get answers, and then it's a problem. So Jesus said, nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find such faith on it? Faith to believe that when I cry to God day and night, God avenge me. God avenge me. God is 6 p.m. avenge me. God is 6 p.m. avenge me. God is 4 a.m. Avenge me day and night. God is saying, Jesus is saying that, nevertheless, when I come, will I find people who believe such a word? That you can pray and turn your situation around. There is nothing that faith cannot do. I said there is nothing that faith cannot do. There is nothing that faith cannot do. There is nothing that faith cannot do. There is absolutely nothing that faith cannot do. God can change your situation. God can change your situation. God can turn things around today. If only you will rise up and you will do what he says you should do. And you'll be a person of prayer. And you wake up in the morning and pray and say, Lord, it is daytime, I'm praying. You wake up in the evening, Lord, it is nighttime, I'm praying. Day and night, open the Bible. Point your finger at it and say, God, I'm doing exactly what you said I should do. He will do it. He will do it. He will do it. Somebody's situation is changing. Somebody's situation is changing. I said somebody's situation is changing. Somebody's situation is changing. Listen, there is no closed case until you have closed it. With God, all cases are open. I said with God, all cases are open. Because with him, the Bible says that nothing shall be impossible. With men, it's impossible sometimes, but not with God. With God, all things are possible. All things are possible. All things are possible. All things are possible. It takes your faith to collaborate with God. It takes your faith to cooperate with God. It takes your faith to work up with God. It takes your faith to partner with God to deliver you that which belongs to you. Come on, lift up your hand and give to the Lord a shout of victory. A shout of victory. Shout and say, my situation is changing. My situation is changing. Say, my situation is changing. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. 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 Thank you. Come, everybody, stand to your feet. Close your eyes and speak to the Lord about that thing which even troubles you now. That thing which troubles you now. That one thing. That two things. Whatever it is that is troubling you now. Speak to him and say to him, Lord, that from today I'm going to keep coming to you. I'm going to keep praying to you. I'm going to keep asking you day and night. Day and night. I'm going to worry you, Lord, until you have performed it. Come on, pray that prayer. Pray that prayer. Pray that prayer. Pray that prayer. Just make sure it is something that is in line with God's word. It is something. He says that if my words abide, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you will. This is the confidence that we have in him. That anytime we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. If he hears us, then we know we have received the petition that we made of him. Thank you, Lord. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Your situation is changing. Come on, be serious. Open your mouth and pray. Back in with God. Back in with God. Back in with God. Oh, God, avenge me. Oh, God, change my situation. You said you would do it speedily. I come to you today. It is daytime and I'm crying unto you, Lord. Change my situation. Turn it around. 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 Turn my situation around, God. Oh, avenge me, Lord. Avenge me, Lord. Avenge me, Lord. Avenge me, oh God, of the adverse situation, the adversaries. Shikatapaya. Change, Lord. Change, Lord. Let something change, Lord. Change, Lord. Change it. Change my story. Change my story. God is changing your story. God is changing your story. If you're watching us even through the internet right now, be part of what we're doing. Go to your screen and be part of it. Be part of what we're doing. Put your hands on your phone wherever you are watching by the internet, in Facebook, wherever it is, and believe with us. Believe with us as you pray for yourself that your situation is changing. Your situation is changing. There is nothing impossible with God. With God, all things are possible. He's able to change your marriage. He's able to change your children. He's able to change your family situation. He's able to change your job situation. He's able to change whatever it is that is in you. God is able to change it. Yes. 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 Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, yeah,
Jesus, we call on you this morning. We call on you this morning. We call you on you this morning. Affect the situations, the diverse situations that are represented in this room. Affect it, Lord. Change it. Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Lift up your right hand and begin to give God the praise. Thank you for a change. Mekara, take the mic and sing the song.
If you abide in me,
yes,
and my words abide in you, ask what you will, it shall be done unto you. Oh, if you abide in me, and my words abide in you, then you will ask what you will, it shall be done unto you. Why don't you ask what you will?
Yes,
it shall be done unto you. And in that day,
oh, this is the day he's talking about. Now,
you
now
shall ask me nothing.
Now, this is the day.
I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask,
yes,
the Father in my name, he will give to you. He that to have ye asked,
he that to you have not asked, nothing in his name yet.
Ask, you shall receive.
Come on, lift up your hand and say, Jesus. Say the name of Jesus. Say the name of Jesus. Yes.
And my words abide in you. Then you will ask what you will. It shall be done unto you.
Thank you, Jesus. Yes. 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 Lift up your hand and give God the praise for his word. His word of prophecy. Thank you. Thank you. Seek him through his word. And then never doubt it. Believe it. I believe God has visited us. Listen, you cannot leave this place doubting. You cannot leave this place doubting. God is here. Come on, lift up your hands and give him praise. Worship him, worship him, worship him, worship him, worship him. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Father, so we come before you. We come before your table. The word says that the night that you were betrayed, you took bread, having blessed it, you gave thanks, you broke it, you said, take it, this is
my body broken for you. Do this often in remembrance of me. He also took the cup, blessed it, said, this is my blood, my precious blood, sign of the new covenant that I have with you. Thank you for your visitation this morning. We affirm that we believe. We affirm that you have visited us. And we affirm all that you have for us on the cross. You did through the cross. Healing, deliverance, promotions, our destiny in the cross. So as we partake of this communion, we say yes and amen. And say it is done. Bless this element. Redeem that. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Please distribute it. You may sit. If you're still watching us, you can take a cup of juice, any juice you have at home. Take a piece of bread and join us as we do communion. Lift up the body of Christ. Say, this is the body of Christ. Lift it up and say, this is the body of Christ. Say, this is the body of Christ. Partake in the body. Lift up your cup and say, the cup of blessing. Say, the cup of blessing. Say, this is a cup of blessing. Drink of the blood. Put your hand on your heart. Father, thank you for healing. Healing, emotional healing, physical healing, mental healing, any kind of healing that is needed in this body. The body that is touched, the body that the hand is laid on the heart now. We thank you that it is done. We celebrate that it is done. We praise you that it is done. Thank you for help from the very top of our heads to the soles of our feet. In Jesus' name. Every head still bowed, every eye closed. If you are here, don't move yet. If you are here and you do not have Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you want to say, Pastor, pray for me, pray with me. I want to pray with you. Anybody like that, just slip up your hand. You don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You are not sure where you will go if you were to die today. Lift up that hand. Let me pray for you. How about you are here? You know yourself that your walk with God is not as it ought to be. You know it's not as it ought to be. You want to say, Pastor, I want to rededicate my life and have a fresh start with God. Lift up that hand. I'll pray with you. Anybody here? Anybody? Thank you, Jesus. We bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. Put your hands together for a wonderful, wonderful service. God visited us, and we are grateful. Amen.